Okay, I got this back up and going, so. Okay, I should have. Stephanie, is that you back again?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I had to reload that thing. Sorry, it went ahead and just clicked everybody off there. But, Rachel, definitely I want you to go ahead and give us a call back here. It wasn't loaded up to go ahead and let you be able to do that. But I'm going to go ahead and you can give us a call here. As a matter of fact, I loaded it back up. So anybody who wants to call, I was going to end it here before, but anybody who wants to call right now, I know we're going a little bit long, but we are the Black Channel. I own this thing, so I can do that. The telephone number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933 is your access code to the Blacks Radio program on the face of the planet. Let me find out something here, Stephanie, if I can ask a question here. Do you have any friends in your life who have had an abortion?
Yes.
Now, just honestly speaking here, and I don't want to get you in any trouble here or anything, but How is your relationship with them after finding that out?
Well, actually, after I said yes, I was like, maybe I should have said no, because I don't talk to her anymore, really. Because, and it wasn't, I really don't know why we stopped talking, but I know that it was like we were talking off and then we stopped talking.
Do you think that has something to do with it?
I'm not sure, because I really don't even remember. Like I said, I don't remember why we stopped talking. Like, the last argument we had, well, not argument, but disagreement we had was, like, about finances. And then, like, she called me back, and, like, we started talking, and then it's like we just stopped talking again. So I don't know if it was, because she's still in school, so I don't know if her schoolwork came in. I don't know. But she was the only one that has told me that she's actually had an abortion, and she had it when she was like 14, 15, somewhere in her teens. She was still in high school. And her mom actually made her get the abortion. So, yeah, her mom actually made her get it. And so she, you know, she was kind of telling me about the different emotions and stuff that she had with it. So.
And does she really believe that she is eligible to be a wife at this point in her life?
Well, when you, with her actions and stuff, it's like,
I mean,
she needs to calm down to me.
Do they understand that when they start doing things like that, that they remove themselves from eligibility to be a wife? Do you think they actually understand that? Or do you as females ever talk about that? That, by the way, if I have an abortion, a dude's not going to want to marry me?
Well, I think it's the whole, because, you know, as a female, you always try to uplift each other and think positive thoughts and everything. And you just, you know, it's just the whole idea of being a female and just being married. And you don't think about all the things the guys want you. You just kind of be like, well, somebody wants me, you know? I don't know. Maybe it's the whole fantasy thing that you usually bring up. One day I'm going to be married. I don't know, but I never told her that because I never really thought of it like that.
I need females to be a lot more honest with themselves about what men think and a lot less conceited and self-centered about what they think. Okay, we're going to see if we can pull Rachel back on the line here. Okay. Let me make sure here. I hope this doesn't cut y'all off because for some crazy reason it's asking me if I want to do another episode here. So if it does cut y'all off, call back. It shouldn't cut you off, though. I don't know why Blog Talk did that. Trying to set things up back-to-back sometimes confuses their system, and it'll sit there asking whether you want to redo it and stuff. So it's not really made to do that kind of thing. Anyway, by the way, I could say that, well, I'll get into that some other time. Anyway, you're back in line with us here, Rachel. So you were going ahead and explaining to us about
about, no, I think you were taking something I was saying the complete wrong way when we were talking about the whole abortion thing. I think it went into something completely different than what I was trying to say.
Okay, what were you trying to say?
I was just asking, like, what is the separation? Like, what is the difference between the two? Like, what makes one better than the other?
Okay, define one better than the other, because I need to...
a woman who has had an abortion versus a woman who has kids versus a woman who has no kids, what makes each one better?
Well, no, that wasn't what I was saying. I'm saying they're all the same.
But you're saying as a criteria in a man dating a woman, I'm asking what makes each one better or worse? If she has abortion, does that make her not dateable? Does that make her not a woman that could be married, not a woman of, like, that's what I was trying to ask.
If a woman had an abortion, I would not marry her or ever even consider having children with her. Not now, not ever. That would be suicidally insane.
And what about a woman who has children?
A woman who has children is only one step below a woman who's had abortions. At least this woman had human decency not to kill her children. She just didn't have the human decency to become a wife with children. So at this point you're vacillating and trying to make a distinction between the lesser of two evils. Neither one of them is wife material.
I understand that
I want you to understand that what we're doing here is that in that kind of case, you're saying, well, why is one's worse than the other? What I'm saying is that they're all varying degrees of bad. Nothing that you named so far on that list is good. They're just all varying degrees of bad.
What could those women do to make themselves better to be considered dateable or marriage material?
There is nothing that a woman who's had an abortion can do to make herself wife material. Nothing.
And a woman with kids?
A woman with children. Can a woman with children become wife material? The honest answer to that is yes, but she is the last in consideration. You only take her if she is exceptional and head and shoulders above everybody else out there, or if you ain't got no other choice.
And the woman with no kids that's never been pregnant?
I think that speaks for itself. The other two women bring you liabilities, tremendous liabilities. The woman who has no children has brought you no liabilities. You are free to begin building a family and a legacy with her as you wish, because she's not carrying the liabilities. What you are asking is the difference between asking, okay, we have one car that doesn't have a transmission, we have another car that does not have a motor, and then we've got a brand new car with a new transmission, motor, everything else, it runs just fine. The first two that you bought really don't even qualify as cars. This last one is in pristine condition. So that is the actual analogy and comparison that you're making.
I actually have the same thought and have expressed the same thought to friends and have been told that I'm not compassionate or don't think that women with children or women who have had abortions feel that way. So I'm shocked in hearing somebody else say that. It's almost overwhelming.
First of all, you need to remember one thing, especially in this wacky time in history in which we live, Rachel. Consider the source. The people who are talking to you crazy like that are these other females.
which I understand coming from your situation and me coming from my situation, you would say and defend your situation, because to not defend it is to say I'm wrong, and we know people nowadays are not going to say.
No, stop. I'm asking you. I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you, were those people who say that to you, are those other females?
Sometimes, yes, sometimes.
Okay. And are they single mothers?
A couple of them, yes.
Yeah. And the other ones are probably their kinfolk or single mother sympathizers, because they're so brainwashed and brain-dulled from the ghettos and the housing projects that they identify with single mothers the same way that Clarence Thomas identifies with white supremacy.
I believe that when you're in a certain situation and your outlook is bleak, you have to rationalize. And for those women, I feel that they have rationalized the situation. And they've told themselves that it's okay and it's understandable. So to hear somebody say that's not okay and that's not understandable is to tear up their whole existence. You can't tell them that and expect them to say, yeah, you're right, I'm wrong. I understand that.
Order of business here, because you need to be clear on this, is when people start saying dumb things to you, cut them off. Don't try to save them. Don't try to understand them. Don't wait for them to find religion. Cut them off. Cut them off. Don't play, don't joke, don't dance around. Cut them off. Because what we have to understand is that Africans in America, that we are surrounded by a bunch of people who are not really trying to leave the plantation. They don't really want to leave. They are trying to make a life for themselves and make themselves comfortable on this plantation of debauchery and scum living that white supremacy has created. And that you and I have to make choices. Are we going to sit here and accept what they've given us? And as a black female in particular, you as black females, you all must stand firm. Because what they say is that black womanhood is dead. It is dead because being a black woman is worthless. That's why you got all these bastard makers running around out here, because they say, oh Lord, why have you cursed me to be born a black woman? The truth is that most black women hate themselves. They hate themselves because they look to white supremacy for approval. And that's why they hate themselves. And they want you to hate yourself just as much. So they are not comfortable being around black females who do not engage in self-hating behavior. I need you all to understand that. They are uncomfortable around you because you don't hate yourself. And they do. A woman who lets men ejaculate into them with no ring, no wedding, no anything, that's a woman who hates herself. She has no value for herself. Her body is just here. She's just slamming around and scrambling around on the world. She's just here. She's just flopping about. But she has no purpose for being here. That's the difference. I hope that's the difference between them and you. But understand, they're like vampires. Vampires exist to do two things: suck your blood and turn you like them. The analogy is more akin to the drug world. In the world of drugs, you notice that junkies don't hang out with clean people. Did you notice that? People who do drugs do not hang out with people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because junkies do not have anything in common with their clean friends, not anymore. They don't have, their world revolves around getting high, and yours does not. Once you become a bastard baby maker, your world no longer revolves around getting a job, getting power, wealth, and influence, building a stable life for yourself, having a happy, decent family. Your life revolves every single day. Your occupation, your off-work habit and time is going to be spent fighting that nigga that got you pregnant. They hate it when I say it straight and plain like that, but that's the truth. Her life no longer revolves around having an existence. Her life now revolves around the 18-year life and death mortal struggle that she's going mm-hmm. to have with that fellow who got her pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with him, wanting to have the kids, dealing with her anger at him to spite him, dealing with all those things. That is what her life is consumed with.
Well, I have a question, not to get off the subject that you were talking about, but I work and live in a predominantly Caucasian community, and I find myself, I am one of two women of color that work at my job, and I find myself having times where I'm not able to approach a situation the way I want to, completely assertively, in the fear of not wanting them to see this angry black woman and not wanting them to see or judge me on that factor. And I wonder, do other black people feel that way ever?
Okay, first of all, let's correct your worldview here, Rachel. You are saying that you are concerned about how white people see you at your job, correct?
Well, not how they see you personally.
That's fine, but what they think of you, how they feel about you, how your presence impresses.
How you interact with them, how you interact with them.
My point is, why are you even concerned with that? Did you hear the first part of my broadcast when I was talking to the young man from California who had the two kids?
No, sir, I did not.
Oh, this is why you have to be here for the whole thing. Now, I was speaking to a young man from California who had a couple kids, and I was asking him what kind of job he was going to get that was going to give him power, wealth, and influence, because right now he says the one he's at won't give him that. And he was like, well, I don't know. I have to take a look at that. And I said, the correct answer is none. What you are actually asking me, Rachel, is what do I have to do to make my white and black coworkers more comfortable with me? And what I am telling you, Rachel, is that there is nothing you can do. Nothing. You cannot whore yourself, slut yourself, bow down enough, kiss ass enough. There is nothing you can do, Rachel, that will make them ultimately comfortable and happy with you. You are supposed to be trying to acquire power, wealth, and influence, Rachel. That job is supposed to be a paycheck, and you use that paycheck to forward yourself to power, wealth, and influence as quickly as you can. You're not there to make friends. You're not there to make people more comfortable with you. That is not supposed to be your primary objective. Your primary objective is supposed to be getting your money stacked up so you can get the hell out of there. That's supposed to be your primary objective. If you're not doing that, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters if you're not doing that. It makes no difference.
So you've never been in a position where you wanted to be more aggressive?
Sure, I have. I grew up.
And had to stop yourself, not because you're worried about how people will look at you, but you know in your tone or the way that you come off, that can damage relationships that could possibly help you to forward yourself to wealth or to...
Yeah. Look, you want your tone with the rest of the world to, in a business environment, your tone with your coworkers has to be as amoral and neutral as possible. And that's with everybody. And the reason for that is because your advantage over people in the workplace comes from them not knowing what you're thinking.
Can I ask one question, though, before you? I'm not trying to cut you off. Can I ask where you're based out of?
I'm in Shreveport, Louisiana.
And is that a predominantly black area?
It is now. 7 years ago, we became a predominantly black city. 7 years ago, we just became a predominantly black city. But like any other place, we are the majority of the population, but we are not the majority of the wealth. We have done a better job than places like New Orleans of black people consolidating power and wealth for themselves in the city. See, we ain't just a bunch of country bumpkins. We've done a better job than New Orleans has, but I've gauged myself against the ceiling. I take a look at the white oligarchs, and I'm like, how close to overthrowing them are we? And we still got a ways to go. So we're not bowing down and buck dancing and slopping in the hog pen like them Negroes in New Orleans. We're not like them. But at the same time, my standard is so much higher that I'm like, you know, we're doing okay, but we're still striving. I'm still striving.
Have you lived in a predominantly Caucasian community?
I've lived all over this country.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is, as a black female, you have it much easier than I do as a black male. But here's the real thing, Rachel. You're supposed to be stacking your money so that you can start your own business. There is no future, and there is no freedom, A, working for somebody else, B, working for white society. There isn't freedom at that. You are going to as every day you walk in there, you are going to be concerned about, have I said the wrong thing today? And the problem is, as West Indian Archie said in the movie Malcolm X, when they're ready to come for your black ass, they're coming. And there will be nothing you can do that will stop them. When they are ready to ship you out that door, they're going to do it. And there is nothing you can do that will keep you there 1 second longer than they want you to be there. So the real thing is, rather than spending your energy worrying about who am I pleasing, who am I not pleasing, what's your plan to get out of there? Why don't you tell me right now?
My plan to get out of Hastings, Nebraska?
Say again?
Or my plan to get out of my job?
Yes.
Well, my plan is to work my job for the next 2 years and to go back to school. I would like to start to do pharmaceutical sales. Along with that, I would like to slowly be able to save up enough money to buy my own pharmacy here in Hastings,
so
Nebraska.
When you were 10 years old, you wanted to be a pharmacist. What do
no.
you want to do with your life?
I'm sorry?
If you could do anything with your life and money was not an issue, what would you do?
If I could do anything with my life, I would like to work with young single mothers, young women before they become young single mothers, and work with children.
So why that has nothing to do with pharmaceuticals? Hell, the only thing pharmaceutical-wise that has to do with is they want to pump the kids full of drugs. So you don't need to be getting the pharmaceuticals to do that. Why don't you just go do what you want to do?
Well, pharmaceuticals is also something that I enjoy doing.
I'm asking you, okay, but that wasn't what you just said. When I said, what would you do with your life if money was no object, you walked
as far. If money was no object, then yes, I could devote all my time to that. Money is an object, so I can't devote all my time to that.
Okay, but Rachel, do you want to spend the rest of your life doing what you have to do, or do you want to spend it doing what you want to do? That's what I've been asking.
I kind of... I kind of want to do both.
No, you don't.
I know that sounds crazy, but I
it's
do.
Not crazy.
If I don't have
capacity.
Something
you
to
don't.
I mean, if
you
I don't have
do
something
don't
to do,
to.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. And it
you
sounds
do not
like we're
want to do what you
other.
Do not want to do. You want to do what you want to do, Rachel. And what you want to do is not pharmaceuticals. You've already said that. What you want to do is you want to work with young, wayward women and children. And I think that's an admirable thing. My question to you, though, is why do you not just go ahead and do it?
The money isn't in that.
Why not?
I don't know. You have to ask the government that.
Wrong. I have to ask the government why. Why do I need to ask the white supremacist government? Why?
Well, not, I mean, even if the government wasn't white supremacist, if you have to ask your community, why are people investing in those types of programs? Why
wrong.
Don't people?
Wrong. You're a wonderful kid, Rachel. You really are. But what you're expressing on this phone call, and I'm not beating up on you. I'm very glad you called in because I want people to understand this. Brothers and sisters, what you're hearing on this phone call right here is the reason that black people are the poorest people in the world. It is the reason that we are the poorest, most destitute, most helpless, and most captive and enslaved people on the planet. This is the reason why. This is the reason why we are the most puppeteered and controlled people. Why is that? It is because black people do not believe in being self-motivated and self-started. We believe that anything that we get, including our own prosperity, starts and ends with white society. That before we even think, how can I do this myself, we think, okay, where are the white folk? I got to bring them in on this because there's no way that this can work if they're not involved. I got to bring them in.
Community that I live in, there's not a lot of resources.
Okay, but what does that really mean to do then, Rachel? What does that really mean?
I mean, if you try to just have, like, a food drive or if you try to just do stuff for the kids, people don't have the money. They don't make the money here.
Okay,
then,
Rachel, you're saying the same thing over again. You're repeating what you just said. There's not a lot of resources. Okay, what does that mean? That means there's not food. There's not money. Okay, those are resources, aren't they? Yeah, they are. Didn't you just say there's not a lot of resources? Well, yeah, I kind of did. Okay, we got that, Rachel. You've made your point. Now, since we've determined there's not a lot of resources, what do we do about that?
I'm listening.
And this is why we are the poorest and most controlled people on the face of the planet. Because money is generated by people who come up with solutions, not people who sit around endlessly bemoaning and wailing about their problems. Steve Jobs made Apple into the biggest and most profitable company on earth because his company came up with solutions. They came out with the Kindle, and then Apple comes out with the iPhone, and this thing is super slim. We can do all that stuff you all were doing on that on something that's half the size. We need to have solutions. And that means that you have to think creatively about solving problems, Rachel. Now, what you said was that I want to work with single mothers and with children. In what way?
I would like to give a lot of these young women parenting classes, homemaking classes, teaching
okay.
them the fundamentals
that. I'm listening.
Well,
do you think they're open to that?
Some. I think some. I think I have girlfriends that I grew up with that if the right people were in place in their life, that they might have went down a different road, or they might have had a better opportunity to do more with themselves.
Okay.
And I would like to see that.
Once the woman becomes grown, I don't know how much you can do to raise her at that point.
Well, I'm talking about young women that are 14, 15, 13, 12.
Well, those are not
young women.
Teenagers, but here's my real point about that, though.
Young, but, I mean, if they're having babies, they're young women.
If they're having babies, they're still children at 15 and 16. They're still kids. And the problem is that these are kids having babies. They are not prepared for the responsibility.
Yes, but they're not being taught. They're just being gave a check and put into an apartment and figure it out for yourself.
Okay.
And then
well,
their baby ends up having a baby, ends up having a baby, ends up having a baby.
Okay, well, as I was trying to say, these are not women. These are children. And the problem is that we're empowering children, and yet they are not prepared for these responsibilities. The other problem is that I don't think you can prepare a teenager for the responsibilities of adulthood to tell them, okay, today you're an adult, which is effectively what you're telling them. You went from 15 to adult overnight. No grace period, no easing in, no orientation period. You're an adult today. And we want to give them a crash course in being an adult. And I don't think...
I believe it has to be done at some extent,
Rachel,
because if somebody doesn't
Rachel,
wake them up.
Rachel, you're suffering from black woman's disease. I'm hoping I can cure you. Black woman's disease is when a woman is more interested in hearing her own voice than she is hearing somebody else's. And you're in your 30s. Not a good sign. That means that this is a hardcore ground in the wool, hat dyed in the wool habit. That's probably not going to go away. What you are describing, Rachel, is called social engineering. Now, you have three outlets through which you can perform social engineering. Number one is government. But we do not control government as Africans in America. Therefore, it would be foolish for us to invite government in. If government comes in, government is going to interject their agenda, not ours. And when was the last time that government did anything to improve the lives of Africans in America? Oh, wait a minute, they never have. Not since the 60s, anyway. And those were only on the periphery. They mixed the potion with poison. Therefore, I think it's a horrendous idea to bring government in at all. Second way is you can try to go to some social organization, a church or a nonprofit agency. Nonprofit agencies are problematic. Why? Because nonprofit agencies are actually quasi-profit agencies. Oh, yeah, and they have to let the government into all their business because the government wants to make sure, of course, that they are remaining a, quote, nonprofit agency. So we're kind of quasi back where we just started again. We're getting away from government. Now we just ran back to them. I don't approve of nonprofit agencies because they have to conform to someone else's rules instead of their own. So that leaves another civic organization, the church. But once again, when was the last time that the church served as a force for good in the black society at large? Oh, wait a minute. They haven't done that. Lastly, what that leaves is business. The one thing you have not named and you have not mentioned. Because you see, if you have put those young girls to work and you can dictate to them how they're going to live, because you control their income. Therefore, whether they like you or not, they're going to play ball. Because they have to. They don't have a choice. They're going to play ball. So as I was stating before, if you focus on gaining power, if your goal is truly to impact their behavior, which is what you're talking about, is changing their behaviors, you better get your hands on power, wealth, and influence. That starts with you, Rachel. That doesn't start with a civic organization. It doesn't start with a book club. It starts with Rachel. It starts with Rachel. It doesn't start with a food drive. It starts with Rachel. Now, if Rachel is willing to do that, then things are going to happen. If Rachel is telling herself that there is some alternative means, Rachel ain't going to make it very far. Now, if you really want to make progress, the question becomes, okay, what can I, Rachel, do at my house where I am to generate a circumference through which I can execute what I'm trying to do here? Now, have you really creatively thought about how many different ways you can make that happen, Rachel?
Yes.
Oh, good. I want to hear this.
Creative ways that I've thought about getting money to do it.
Okay, sure. We can start there.
I've thought about doing drives. I've thought about doing... We've done handouts. We've tried to do sneaker conventions here. We've tried... I tried to do beauty days. I've tried to do just the ladies' days and have the ladies pay $10 and they come over and they get their manicures and they get their pedicures and they get $10 and then they tip and whatever they tip we could give to it. Where I live, there's not a lot of jobs and there's not a lot of money.
Okay. When you are in a place that does not have a lot of jobs and does not have a lot of money, then you have to make some decisions, understand? So why don't you and I discuss how we can rectify that little issue now? You said that you currently are working, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is it a full-time job?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you are not one of the people who has that not a lot of money issue. Or at least not having... Nope. At least you're not one of the people who has to worry about having no money. So you have a foundation with which to build on.
I want you
to start broadening your horizons, okay, Rachel? I want you to start broadening your horizons, and let's start thinking creatively about this. All right, everybody, strap on your ears. It's time for us to go through a workshop with Rachel here, because Rachel wants to know, how do I acquire power, wealth, and influence to be able to execute this single mother savior plan I want to put in the...
Well, I don't think it's a savior plan.
All right. We'll just call it that. We'll just call it that anyway because we're difficult. Now, first order of business, Rachel, is if you believe that you can help them, then does that mean that you believe you can give advice to them?
Yes and no.
Okay, well, let's start there, first of all. Now, tell me, how can you give advice to them? Tell me. How would you be able to communicate with them? Because that's what you're really asking for, is I want to be able to communicate with them to make sure that they don't keep repeating the same mistakes. All right, tell me, how do you communicate with them?
You come to their level. You listen to what they have to say.
Okay, tell me how you make this happen. Explain to me how we listen to what they have to say. Tell me how exactly what are we going to do that. What are we going to do? Where are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? I need specifics.
Have a workshop at my house. Have a get-together at my home, a barbecue.
Okay, we can have a workshop at your house. We can have a get-together at your home. Please understand that these teen mothers, they got pregnant by no goodniks. We've already stated that you're in an economically depressed area, which means that where there's thugs, there's drugs. Where there's drugs, there's thugs. And where there's hoes, there's thugs and drugs. And we're going to invite all of that to your house. Where you sleep.
There's
and
not
where
a
live,
lot of, I mean.
Where you sleep and where you live and where you eat, and that's where you're going to invite these wayward individuals. I just want to make sure we got that all straight.
I guess.
Okay. Why don't we try something a little bit better, okay, Rachel? Something that doesn't quite demand that we make our home a flop house. Let's see if we can try something a little bit different. Rachel, have you considered starting your own online broadcast?
No.
Now you see, people, I'm not the fraud. The fraud cannot tell you all how to do what he did. I can tell you all how to do what I've done. I'm bigger than the fraud. The momentum is behind us. This is the number one place for you to be. So understand something. What people pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for, I have no problem disseminating information to you. Rachel, you're not going to get very much done at your house. That doesn't give you a very big megaphone. Why don't you consider doing something that will have more people watching? Something that people will actually go looking for you to hear. Why not that? Do you know how many people that I talk to in a week? How many people listen to my broadcast in a week? Go take a look at my YouTube and you can see that. Why don't we give you a really big megaphone here? Correction. Why don't you give yourself one? One that people will actually come looking for you for. Why don't you do, now this being creative, why don't you do that instead? Because you know that they're online. Hell, some of them got pregnant by dudes who flew into town for the weekend. Can you believe that? She got pregnant by JDog976 from Facebook. Who's my daddy, mom? JDog976. Then again, it could have been Terrell549 from Twitter, or it could have been Hot Sexy Chocolate from Instagram. I'm not sure.
It's possible.
Wait till Maury has that experience for the first time. Yeah, I'm JDog957. Maury's going to be like, okay, I quit. I'm done. But in any case, why have you not considered something like that? You have your own online broadcast. The equipment's not terribly expensive. If you really do have the ability to communicate to these women on the level that you want to communicate to them on, it'll only be a few months before you have advertisers. I do not have advertisers on the Black Channel because I do not want advertisers. At least I haven't really wanted advertisers. And that might change one day. I don't know. People keep asking me about it, and I keep thinking it over. Maybe one day I will. I don't know. But I do know that as a female, you have the ability to gain a very large audience very, very quickly. Because you're female.
Yeah.
And you're a size 6. That damn sure helps. Why not use that to your advantage?
I'm personally not interested in broadcasting myself. I don't feel like I need a megaphone in front of me. I don't feel like I need to help thousands. The couple few
I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about thousands. What I'm saying,
I don't want to do it on a mass level.
I'm not saying that either. Rachel, stop talking. I'm not saying that. There may be some part of that sentence you're not understanding. I don't know why, but I'll try this one more time. I'm not saying that. Stephanie, did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I said I'm not saying that. So Stephanie heard me. I don't know if Rachel heard me, but Stephanie heard me say, I'm not saying that. You asked a question previously, Rachel, although you didn't actually understand what it was you were asking. You were asking about how do I develop power, wealth, and influence doing something that I actually want to do. because you have already stated that that job is not what you want to do. So how do we turn what we want to do into something that will make money for us? Because the only thing that you have described so far is spending money. I want to be Meals on Wheels. I want people to come to my house. I want to hold workshops. I want to teach women how to cook and clean. All that stuff.
I feel like in pharmaceuticals,
Rachel,
that would do very well.
Rachel.
And that's the...
Rachel, you did it again.
I can't explain it more than to say that is a dream of mine, but
Rachel,
I keep hearing you say Rachel.
You did it again. If you had the answers, I'd be calling you. So if I'm talking and then Rachel starts talking, then obviously Rachel has the answers. Because Rachel continually keeps doing that, even though when I ask Rachel questions, she says, I don't know. But when I start talking, Rachel starts talking. So what Rachel is trying to do is black woman disease. Rachel thinks she's saving face, when in reality, Rachel is making herself look more ridiculous. When I asked you what to do, that was your turn to say, okay, here's exactly what we do. I start talking and then you say, oh, no, let me tell you, this is how we'll get it done. If you really understood and knew, you would have already have said it. But you didn't, Rachel. When you were asked, you got quiet. So let's try this one more time, everybody, just in case Rachel thinks that we're not being fair here. Here's your chance to actually talk, Rachel. Now, everybody watch what she does right now, and I'm calling it before you even do it. This is, Stephanie, pay attention, because this is what black men run into all the time. Rachel, how are you going to generate income on your own to execute these things you're talking about, since you've already stated that you can't get it through your job? Tell us, how are you going to do it?
I'm going to buy a pharmacy.
Why are you mumbling your words, Rachel? You were speaking on the phone just
I'm
fine.
I'm not mumbling my words. I'm saying that's what my job is now. That's what I'm going to do to save my money to be able to do what I want.
I'm going to buy a pharmacy.
I'm going to keep going to school. I'm going to become fully certified, licensed, and I'm going to buy a pharmacy.
Okay.
In this community where I live.
Buy a pharmaceutical business.
No, a pharmacy.
Is a pharmacy not a business, ma'am?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I just said you're going to start a pharmacy business.
Yes.
Did I not
That's
just
what
say
I
that?
Do.
Okay, wait a minute, but
That's
you just said no. When I said that, you said no. Did
no,
you
I
even
thought you were saying pharmaceutical sales. There's a difference between pharmaceutical
okay,
sales
no, ma'am.
And owning a
you're
pharmacy.
Gonna start a pharmaceutical business.
Yes, sir.
That was what I just said was pharmaceutical business. I didn't say pharmaceutical sales. I said pharmaceutical business. You heard me say that. But you're not actually listening to me. You're trying to prepare your next response while I'm talking, and that's why you're not actually even hearing me. Stephanie, I hope you're taking all this in.
Mm-hmm.
If for all the black females out there listening, just understand that. Even when a man is leading, this is the kind of thing that we get as black males. Not a female who actually wants to understand, but a female who wants to be heard. Well, that's fine, but that's not okay if you are looking for answers. Because you see, when I don't have money, I want somebody to give me answers. I don't want conjecture. I don't want fantasizing. I want answers. Now, what you just said is that I want to start my own pharmaceutical business. I want to have a pharmacy. Do you understand how many hours a day of your time that's going to take up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How are you going to have time for anything else when you're going to be spending roughly 12 to 16 hours a day doing that? I'm listening.
If it's something that I want, I will get it.
Okay, if it's something that you want.
I will stay up day and night.
Okay, that's fantasy and that's emotion talking. Give me some specifics.
As far as how I will obtain it?
Yeah, why don't you tell us all, if you're going to be spending most of your time running a business, how are you going to have time for all this workshopping and running a business? Something is going to suffer.
I think once I get my business off the ground and it's been running successfully for 2 or 3 years, I think I will have time then to dedicate to other things.
Okay, so what you're really saying is that you do not have a 2-year plan, you have a 5-year plan.
No, owning a pharmacy is a 10-year plan.
Okay, so what you're really saying is you do not have a 2-year plan or a 5-year plan because you just said previously, I want to work for the next 2 years and then I want to open my own pharmacy. So we do not have a 2-year plan or a 5-year plan, you have a 10-year plan. Is that correct?
For me to be owning a pharmacy outright in my name, yes, that's a 10-year plan.
Okay, that's fine. A 10-year plan. All you had to do was just say yes. We didn't need biography. All you had to do was just say yes. It doesn't change the answer. But you see, she wants to stretch it out because she's stalling for time now because, as I said before, she hasn't really thought this through, and this is the first time anybody's ever spoken to her. She's not listening as well as she could, but I think it's starting to dawn on her that, oh, wait a minute, this is not really feasible. Because you just told us that the 2-year plan, because before you said 2 years, now you you backed it up to 5, now you're backing it up to 10.
In 2 years, I want to start going back to school.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to do in 2 years.
Rachel,
that's what I said.
Rachel, you can stop now. You have a 10-year plan. You are currently 33 years old. What you are saying
sir.
Is that you'll be 43 years old.
Yes, sir.
43.
Yes, sir.
By the time you even get started with this idea you're referring to. 43.
I want 43 running it, yes.
43 years old. Are you
yes,
hearing yourself, Rachel?
Yes, I am hearing myself.
Okay, what's going to happen to these females you're talking about now in the next 10 years? What is going to happen over the next 10 years while you're trying to get the Great American Pharmacy off the ground?
I can't speak to that now.
Okay. My point to you is that it will take you 10 years to even get started. How many years after that will it take for you to become financially stable? Because it usually takes 3 to 5 years before a business turns a profit. So how many years after you've gotten started are you going to have to wait before you become financially stable? And then you can start doing all these great things you're referring to. Because you've already told us that it's going to be 10 years before we can even discuss you opening this pharmacy. And I know it's going to be another 3 to 5 years before that thing is going to turn a profit that will even allow you to do something like support some nonprofit social work that you want to do. So your 10-year plan, the 2-year plan that became a 5-year plan that became a 10-year plan is actually a 13 to 15-year plan. You will not be 43 when you start. You will be closer to 48.
And I have no wisdom.
I am not trying to disintegrate your idea or dismantle it. I'm saying that I'm doing for you what any banker, any financial analyst, and any attorney would do. I am trying to get you to see the world realistically because I know what's going to happen when you go out there and you start asking for money because you're opening a business because you want to turn a profit. And I don't care if you're selling pills or if you're selling rubber doorknob covers. I do know what it takes to make a business profitable and how long it takes. And I do know what it is like having to support the social good that you want to do with your business. I do it at the Black Channel. I have never asked people to pay for the Black Channel. I've paid for it myself. And you all know that it costs money to be on Blog Talk. There ain't no free thing that lets you talk to people this long. And you all know it costs money for our internet connections. Ain't no free option for that. And it costs money to print up those shirts and to film 7 a.m. It costs a lot of money to do that. Never ask anybody for anything. So I know what it's like to do that. What, where you're trying to go, I've already been many moons now. Many moons. I've been to hell and back and hell and black. So I'm telling you that you are grossly understating the venture that you are talking about proceeding into. You are grossly understating it. It is not going to be as easy and simple as you are trying to make it out be. Not for what you say you want to do with your life. It's not going to be that easy. And you are giving us the rosiest scenario that you can. And what I'm trying to tell you is that that scenario is unrealistic. It is what you feel, but it is not what you can actually do. Feeling is fine, but never try to go out there and do it. I feel like I can fly. Please don't get up on any tall buildings. Your 10-year plan is actually something closer to 13. If it goes quickly, it's closer to 13, which will put you somewhere around 45, 46 years old before you have even started. By the way, were you ever planning on having children?
No, sir.
So you're saying you don't ever have kids?
No, sir.
But you want to help women who do have children?
Yes, sir.
So you do not have children?
No, sir.
But you want to be the driving force helping women, young women, who are still children and have children of their own?
Yes, sir.
And what did you say made you decide to do or to want to do that?
I've seen a lot of young women with children, and I've seen the hardships that their children go through. I've seen the hardships that they go through, and I'd like to be a helping force in that. I would like to be somebody that could help them.
Well, I think it is absolutely wonderful and admirable that you want to do that. I really do think it is.
Can I ask why you don't? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Can I ask why you wouldn't want to try to get them before they become a?
I would like to work with women that before they become pregnant as well. Yes, I would.
Okay, and you know that it's going to kind of be split because it's kind of like you're doing two different things at one time because you're focusing on one group and then the other, correct?
It wouldn't be just me myself, but yes, I do understand that. But I feel like educating a lot of young women before they even get to that point and educating the young women that are at that point.
Okay. Well, have you done any, and I'm just asking because I kind of kicked, I guess this past week I've been kind of thinking of different things I could do to help, like, the younger kids. And so I've kind of did some research and things, and I guess I got some ideas, but I'm not really sure. They actually have on the Girl Scout page the state of the Black girls, and it has, like, different things as far as the teenagers and what, you know, what information they want and things. Have you done that kind of research as far as what the girls are interested in finding out?
Well, the area, the place that I live in, there's one black woman that everybody kind of comes to her house. And I've been slowly talking to a lot of the young women in that area. That's where they have low-income housing, I guess you would call it, where a lot of the single mothers are. And just getting to know them, seeing them with their kids, asking them if they need help, giving them rides, helping them with what little I can at this point, it just made me feel like not maybe, but that's something that I would like to do more of.
But have you specifically asked them, like, what is it that you need type thing, like a survey, I guess, to see? I mean, because what you may think that they need, they think that, oh, this is just, I already know it doesn't help me type thing.
As far as, like, I'm confused. I'm
like sure. The services. Like, what you're going to actually offer?
Well, I would like to offer financial
guidance.
No, I'm
asking, have you surveyed, like, asked the
women?
Oh,
the young women?
That would be,
no,
yes.
I've more just been around them and experiencing their environment and how they deal with their kids and how they relate to other situations, how they, when you ask them, have you got your high school diploma? Are you interested in getting your high school diploma? Can I pull up this website? You can do it right here. Or I can take you to the library. Or, you know, that's how I've been slowly surveying myself, I guess you want to say.
Well, definitely you want to get the survey so you can strategically place it. But you also, I think it's also beneficial to ask them because it gives them buy-in. It makes them feel like they were a part of the process, and so they will be more invested in what you're doing.
Yes. That's a very good
because
idea.
If you're just making all the decisions, then it's kind of like, you know, or like I said, they may feel like they don't fit the criteria or whatever goes through their mind. It's different things for different people.
I find that a lot of the women that I've been around that are in those situations, a lot of times if you don't, I don't want to say take control of the situation, but if you don't say, hey, you need to do this. This is something you need to do for yourself. If you don't put it to them like that and you kind of say, well, what do you want to do? They'll say, well, I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's like, they don't even process that thought of what am I going to do in 10 years? What am I going to do in 5 years? What am I going to do? It's just kind of like they live in an everyday-to-day life.
So what exactly are you telling them to, I guess, demand that they do stuff?
Not really demand, just more put it right in their face.
Like, what do you put in their face?
One of the young girls that I literally took my computer over there and sat with her, looked it up online, sat there with her like, this is how you go about it. This is the internet. This is what you need to do to get on here. And to me, if I wouldn't have done that much, she probably wouldn't even signed up. She probably wouldn't even thought anything of it. She would have just kept going every day like, oh, I don't need to do that. That's not important. It's like the people that are around them aren't pushing them to do more. They're in the same situation, so it's okay. And until somebody says that's not okay and you give them the tools and show them a little bit, like, look, you can do this. Oh, I can do that? Yeah, you can do it just like that. It's that simple.
Okay, so how did that make you feel to help her with that?
Personally, that made me feel good. That made me feel accomplished. That made me feel like.
And it made you want to help other people, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So when Jason mentioned the fact of you doing the broadcast, why are you so hesitant to do it when it could potentially help more people, help you reach more people, and help get the message out so that more people will know what you're trying to do, for one, and maybe you can solicit help from others who know what you're trying to do and want to help you, and get the information out to your target audience?
I don't want to be the face of anything in that way. Like, if somebody
else...
Well,
you don't necessarily have to be the face. I mean, Jason hasn't shown his face, and he's doing awesome, I like to think.
Yeah, but, I mean, she has no problem showing her face to those people showing up their house. You need a ride. You need some food stamps. You need some cans. I mean, you're already doing it, so what would be the difference?
I just guess in broadcasting, to me, it just seems like I'm broadcasting, I guess.
Why can't you just do like a Dear Abby? Let these young girls just call in and cry on your damn shoulder for 2 hours. Because that's what you're going to do anyway. That's all you've been describing. You haven't actually described what they're going to do better in their lives. You haven't actually done that yet, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But you haven't actually done that yet.
Well,
describe what you're going to do for them. Not describe what they are going to do for themselves. So how would this change anything? Is what you're already talking about doing. I'm just being honest about what it is you're saying you want to do.
In my community, I think it would change a lot here, where I'm at. I think it would change a lot.
How so?
I think that it would give a lot of these young women a greater outlook on getting themselves together and owning their own homes and trying to have their own businesses and trying to do for self.
Well, no, ma'am, I'm referring to in relation to what Stephanie just asked you. Thank you so much for listening. She's already forgotten what she was just talking about a few minutes ago when you asked her. This is what I mean by she's not actually listening to us. She's thinking about what she wants her next response to be while we're talking, but she's not actually listening to us. She's too busy figuring out what she wants to respond with next. Rachel, you can definitely go ahead and try your idea. For what it's worth, I certainly hope it works out well for you. I will not sugarcoat anything here on the Black Channel. I do not do that. The math does not work in what you are proposing to do. The mathematics don't work. For what you're saying you want to do, you can't get there from here. Not like that, you can't. You're making a burden that is just going to be too difficult on yourself to make that kind of thing work. That's not going to work. You're going to be 10, 15 years out, which means you're going to be a 45-year-old woman trying to talk to 15-year-old kids about their own children. And you're telling us, oh, don't worry, it'll all go wonderfully. Well, yeah, everything goes wonderfully in our minds. Hell, Pacquiao fought Cortez or whoever it was. I'm going to walk out here and knock out. And then got himself knocked smooth, slapped the hell out. Pacquiao, I mean. Or was it Marquez? I forget who it was. But anyway, he had it worked in his head, too. I just walk out here and go 5-6 rounds, knockout. There's a few rounds till a knockout. It just wasn't Marquez got knocked out. So I give you credit for enthusiasm, but everybody's got enthusiasm. We can't spend enthusiasm. But definitely, if that does work out, let us know. I think you're going to find out you're not going to get a whole lot done without money. And having a plan to acquire it is much more important than enthusiasm for spending. Anybody can spend a bunch of money. Very few people have the means to make it. the creativity to figure out how to make it. So I will let you have the last word. That was you, Rachel. I will let you have the last word, Rachel.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time and your thoughts. And thanks again for listening.
You all take care out there. Stephanie?
Yes?
The only time she wanted to be quiet was when I asked her questions. The rest of the time, she wanted to talk. When you asked her for specifics about her plans, she doesn't have any. When you try to help her get some specifics, she wants to start speaking. She's a year older than you are. She's a size 6. She doesn't want to have kids. More to the point, the men don't want to have kids with her. The young lady who just got off the phone was not wife material. I'm not being mean to anybody. I'm not being bad. I am not being negative even. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be diminutive. I'm just trying to be honest. That was not wife material on this phone. So I'm very glad that she doesn't want to have children because she's not eligible. Not for a black man who's actually doing something for himself. She's not eligible. That was the other point I wanted to draw out of that for people is that, can you imagine a black man trying to build anything with her? Well, I'm a black man, and I'm just telling you, I don't see how it happens. I don't see how we get there from here. Maybe we can get there, but I don't see how we get there from here.
Interesting.
I'm not understanding how that happens.
So, I have a question.
You usually do.
I know, I always do. So, as I was saying, I had looked up, I found online, like some of the interests that girls would have as far as what they want to know more about. And in the article that I read, it mentioned the whole thing about black girls wanting or more willing to have a leadership role and wanting to be more in a leadership type position. And so that, when I read that, it made me think of the guys and not having leadership. And the fact that if I bring that up to the women, I mean to the girls, do you think it would negatively impact the guys?
Okay, well, let's just talk about that for a moment.
Or should it be like a leadership in a different kind of way? Don't do it as, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, here's the problem. The problem is, why do these girls want, quote, leadership? What does that mean? Because you see, when a man says that he wants leadership, we're thinking like quarterback, okay? Males, when we talk about leadership, we think about it from a team sport perspective. When females say they want leadership, they just mean, I want to be boss. I want to have control. She's not mean that I want to produce and I want to build. She just means in that emotional, diatribe, selfish way, I just want control. She does not actually mean I want to build. Because you see, you don't have to be a leader to be a builder. when females, and I see hear this a lot, when they start talking about they want a leadership, I want to lead, they just really mean I want to control. And that is why most females today are not eligible for a husband. She can lead or he can lead. You can't both do it. And that attitude is something that they carry with them in all aspects of their lives. So when you actually talk to these girls, you start realizing that they're not actually describing leadership. They're describing control. When you ask a young man what he wants to lead at, he will tell you the leadership position that he aspires to have. When you ask a young female, it really comes down to, I just want to be leading stuff.
On the phone.
Tell us the stuff you want to lead. Well, you know, things. You just put me in a leadership position and I'll be leading. She thinks that leadership is pointing your finger and telling people stuff. And if they don't like it, you can tell them hit the brakes. You can hit the bricks. That's not leadership. Leadership is building. Leadership is taking, is finding solutions. That's leadership. Peyton Manning is a leader because he finds solutions. He can't find the solution to that Super Bowl, but he can find up to the Super Bowl. He's got answers, right till he gets there. That's a leader. A leader is somebody who you present questions and they give you answers. The young woman on this line was not even able to do what illegal aliens do. She was not even able to provide us with the means for acquiring income. All she could do is sit there and tell you, well, we ain't got a lot of money. How many illegals are there in Nebraska making money every day? But her response was, we ain't got a lot of money. But she has a job. Somebody's got some money. She's got a job. And telling us what she can't do. Now, she's sitting here on my phone with me today telling me that she can't do this and can't do that. But if we give her a business, all of a sudden she's going to become a world-class problem solver. Not only will she solve her financial issues, she will also be able to solve the issues of teenage girls who have children, even though she herself has stated that she never wants to have children. But she's going to be able to help guide other people's kids, even though she has clearly stated she does not ever want children of her own. But she's qualified to help you, Stephanie, with your kids. Do you own a car? No. Do you ever want one? Hell no. But I want to fix on your car. Really? How much do you know about cars? Nothing. Sounds like you don't even like cars. Yeah, I'm not that much tuned to him. But I really want to fix on yours. Really, really bad. Sounds to me like the only thing you can do is mess up my car. Not beating up on her. I'm just trying to be honest.
It sounds like maybe she just really wants to do pharmaceuticals and she wants to just, you know, you want to help people. So maybe it's like her hobby that she needs.
Yeah, but Steph, here's the problem. Helping it to effectively help people, as you know from your profession, that's not a part-time job.
No, it's not.
That is a full, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a full-time damn job and actually overtime. How many times have you had to deal with those kids after hours?
Too many.
Okay.
And then to see them in the stores.
But you see, in her overly simplistic imagination where everything fits perfectly fine together, which is how imagination works, in her imagination, all the pieces will all fit and fall into place. All she's got to do is be there to catch them. In her mind, everything will arrange itself. She is just the messenger. And I'm trying to impress on her that no, that is not the way the real world works. Let's grab another phone call here. Caller from 910, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Jason. This is Jazz. How are you?
Hi, Jason. This is who?
Jazz.
Oh, Jazz, what's going on, Jasmine?
I actually wanted to take it back to what you were talking about earlier about the group on Facebook. I know for me, anyway, since I've been listening to your broadcast, there's been so many things that I've thought about doing before that I never really, thought that I could do or, and it's just given me so much more, motivation, to do a lot of things, business-wise and everything like that. And with that particular group being such a large group of Black people more specifically, I think that's a really good platform for you. And I kind of caught the tail end of the last broadcast, but you said something about setting up another group on Facebook, specifically for...
For Black men. I was asking about, and that's what I was starting on this broadcast here about, After Hours. I was asking the question about Black men and would they pay to have a group where we made sure that the females were not single mothers? Because right now, every group, website, everything, if you want to filter out single mothers, can we just have a haven or a place where we as Black men who are progressive and doing something with our lives, can we filter out the single mothers before they even get there? Can we just say, this club is not for single mothers? Can we do that? So that basically was the thing I was asking was, would they be willing to pay for that? And so far, response seems amicable to that. So whether or not somebody actually engages in that in the future, I don't know. People, of course, are going to look at me and say, hey, TBA, why don't you? I don't know. But what I will say is that I think that Black men are going to have to start considering things like that where even if it's, to be totally honest with you, and it's not even for a date as far as I'm concerned, I would really like to just filter out single mothers just altogether, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that once they enter, it's just so rare. You have somebody like Melissa, but the Melissas are very rare. And she'll tell you that. The Melissas are extremely rare.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that, we spend so much time fighting with the anti-Melissas.
How do we get
anything done fighting with all these anti-Melissas?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of females who are broke and busted and never going to change. They are broken and busted down, and they will never be any different than they are today. Never. They are so contaminated and so defective and scarred at this point. They're so permanently damaged that there is no fixing them. That's all I'm saying. So we as Black men need to make some decisions about, what do we do to clear the atmosphere? That's my question. What do we do to clear the atmosphere, Jazz?
I think what you suggested earlier was a brilliant idea. Sissing. I think you made three or four posts today in that group. I'm not sure. I didn't keep track, but. You could just see from the responses, who was on what side, and gather those people and have, like-minded discussions, and you guys kind of already do that on your page, but I don't know.
Oh, finding the men is not the problem. Oh, I could have 200 guys tomorrow. By tomorrow morning, they'd be fine with that. The problem is finding the women, Jazz. Did you see what happened on my post about the females, a group of 50,000 people? I asked how many females are single with no children. Do you see the abysmally low? We had a dozen. Out of 50,000 of you, and there's only a dozen who ain't been run through?
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you? Now, when Will asked for the females who were not fat to put up pictures of themselves, they didn't have any problem doing that. He got a few dozen females to do that. We can't get one. We could barely get a dozen females who didn't have a baby. So what that means, all those slim females you're looking at, you have to sift through them. Actually, not sift. Most of them are bringing their own baggage. You call that a bargain? Yeah, she's not carrying around 100 extra pounds of fat. She's carrying around 100 extra pounds of another man's legacy. She's carrying around 100 extra pounds of another man's mistakes she made with another man that you will now be expected to become responsible for. And let's cut the bull crap, everybody. If you get with a woman with children, you are expected to become the father of those children. Let's cut the nonsense. They always come in saying, no, that's not what I want. Okay, then what do you want you and me to be then? Because you're not going to ship these kids off to Siberia, so what's going to happen? You are going to have to become these children's father. Let's cut the bull crap. You cannot have a relationship with a woman with children and simultaneously not have a relationship with her kids. That's insane to even say that. But the females have to say that because they know that no man wants a ready-made family. So they come in the door lying. Remember what I said to Stephanie before? I mean, they're just telling bald-faced lies. How can I have a relationship with you and not have one with your kids? That's a lie. Either that or you're doing Molly's. One of those females who's going to sell her children for a toaster or something.
Oh, no.
But what I'm saying there, Jazz, is that we as males have a severe problem. I mean, if I sit there and just say, okay, no females who have kids, do you know how many we just ruled out? Oh, yeah, no kids and no abortions. No, you cannot have any pregnancies in your past. Do you know how many black women we just removed right there?
A lot.
We probably removed 60% right there. Before we even got started. But MSNBC and ABC are not going to tell you that this is the real dating pool that black men have to deal with. They want to tell you about how hard it is for black women, but that's because black women spend more money than black men, and black women are who the advertisers want to appeal to, so they have no problem lying, making Nightline specials lying about what the situation really is. They have no problem doing that. Why? If men ain't going to pay us, we might as well lie to the women. And really, is it lying if you made money? So they don't care. They have no problem lying to y'all's faces. They got your money now. Don't you all know that they tell you anything they think you want to hear? I'm one of the only personalities anywhere in media anywhere who will actually tell people what the truth is, regardless of if they like it or not. I upset men and women equally. But the truth is that we as black men ain't got a lot to work with. If we just say, don't come to us with another man's genes. And you know that, Jazz, you know that. Half the females you know are sitting up here carrying around a bunch of bull crap. You know that. You know full well. When was the last time that you walked into a room and there were more black women without children than had them? You know that. And you're a black female. But we're not allowed to be honest with these things. We're required to lie to people. And I'm saying that I'm tired of lying to people. I'm not going to have grown people that I'm sitting up here being dishonest with. So maybe it'll be a situation where somebody decides they want to make their own, you know? But it's,
yeah,
not, it's not the men I'm concerned about. There are not, now you, Jazz, you don't have children. Have you ever been pregnant?
No, I don't. No, I haven't been ever been pregnant.
Okay, how hard is it to not get pregnant? It must be damn difficult because most females have been pregnant, so it must be damn difficult to avoid getting pregnant, Jazz. What magic potion do you have?
I mean, it's really not hard. I mean, from what I hear and a lot of young girls, they get this when they get, you know, when they fall in love or whatever, or not, they get this feeling that they're going to be with that person, and they really don't care. They're like, oh, well, we'll get married eventually, and then it just happens over and over, and that's from what I've heard, like, from friends, you know, who have kids.
The real problem is that black females as a group today have been conditioned to play slut games. Everything is about using your vagina. You never develop a personality. Their mothers tell them that you don't have to develop a personality. They were raised by trick mothers, and their trick mothers teach them how to run tricks. And what I'm saying is that we as black men have had enough of the generation of tricks. We've had enough of females who just want to run tricks. A bunch of females turning tricks and none of them eligible to be wives. Enough is enough is enough. Enough's enough. So, as it stands, imagine that male support would be rabid, but like I say, and what I'm saying is that as black men, I think that as we cultivate more forums like that, it'll gravitate more males, but it does take a certain type of black male, you know? It's not going to be open to just any black male. We can't have a bunch of dusty dudes. I mean, because I know how it is for y'all as females. I mean, I've seen inboxes.
Definitely.
I've seen inboxes. Everything is, hey, Ma, hey, Shouty, what you doing, baby? And some of them aren't even subtle. It's just you open up your inbox and there's his scrotum. And what you all ought to do as females is y'all really need to start posting those messages up online. On Facebook and stuff, y'all really just need to start posting those things. When guys do that kind of stuff, if females would stop with this code of silence, guys would stop doing that. But the truth is that most of y'all get a kick out of the attention. Don't even try the, oh, no, not me. Most of y'all get a kick out of the attention.
I guess, but...
Okay, let's just be honest about it. Y'all get a kick out of the attention. That's why you don't do that, because you like the attention. Even if it's dirty, thirsty, crusty attention. Females just like attention. That's why they accept that mess. But if y'all seriously really ever wanted to stop it, you could do it in a heartbeat by posting up their messages. If guys knew that, man, if I send this picture, it's going to be on her wall within 5 minutes if she doesn't like it, they would stop doing it. But the fact that y'all play that game and hee-hee-ha-ha, you're turning tricks. Just remember, you're turning tricks now. And he's taking that seriously. While you're turning tricks. So what I'm saying is that I want black men to consider that we may have to provide a viable financial alternative to this stuff we've been seeing before. I don't know if it'd be a group of clubs around the country or whatever, but I do know that we are not going to be able to I do know that we need to filter them out. I do know that. I do know that that needs to occur. So I'm just saying that I was like, hey, guys, I just thought that it wasn't enough to just have a group. I was like, hey, are we willing to pay for one? And if we're willing to pay for one, then, hey. I think that men could start calling some shots if we wanted to do that. I don't know. Maybe we'd have a damn lottery for the females or something. I don't know. What? What are you laughing at?
A lottery.
What's wrong with the lottery?
I don't know. I don't know.
Don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't have.
What are you talking about? Like, just pull a name out of a hat lottery? Or
I guess. What's wrong with that?
But I do think it's good what you and Will and some others are doing, you know, making it known that, you know, single motherhood isn't acceptable nor, you know, should it be. So,
well, yeah, I mean, they're mad at us because we're getting all the men on the same page of raising the standards. We are raising the standard for the men. Where are the women to raise the standard for the women? Who's out there telling the women don't date this dumb dude with his pants hanging off his ass? Where are the females who are making a point of saying that?
I mean, I have in my personal life, but I mean, then I get called, oh, you just hating or whatever. But I truly
exactly.
have, you know, if I, you know, tell one of my friends,
you're
you
hating
know, how? Hey, I don't know.
That's just the word.
Yeah.
Anytime
you
say
not.
Something contrary to what they think, you're a hater.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'll tell her, you know, maybe that's not the best option. Maybe you should, you know, try to find them somewhere else besides the club or whatever. Oh, you know, I get accused of being a hater or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can only tell someone so much and you can only, you know, I can talk to them blue in the face, but if they don't want to, like, become better, I mean, what more can I do? And that's how I feel sometimes. So.
Well, like I say, my real point is that as black men, I think in order for us to stand out, we have to start putting our money where our mouths are, where the types of females that we want are concerned. Because the broken, dusty dudes are paying for strippers and tricking off their money. And I'm not saying that we should trick off our money. That's absolutely wrong. What I am saying is that we as black men, if we want a forum where we can scrutinize the quality of the women better, we're going to have to pay for it. And see, those women telling y'all all that mess, you have to understand that their options are limited. So as a woman's options become more limited, she lowers the bar more and more for the kind of male that she's willing to accept. Now, she's not going to tell you that she's lowering the bar. She just goes ahead and lowers it. Next thing you know, Javarius is riding his bicycle over to her house. He doesn't have a car. He's got a bicycle. But y'all have seen that. So these y'all, your sisters don't sit up here and tell you that they're lowering their standards. They just pretend that they're not lowering it.
Well, and so then now, I think it's the fact that they supposedly have somebody.
Yeah, I mean, a female goes from preferring the kind of guy she wants to just taking what she can get. As long as he is willing to accept her in her damaged state. If all else fails, if she cannot find a man who accepts her in her damaged state, then she will decide to change. Understand something. I am 37 years old. I could have not one, not two, not three, but four females at my house in the next 60 minutes if I wanted them here. And I mean all four of them at the same time. If I don't mind dealing with a single mother.
Wow.
And that's the situation that a lot of black men who have their act together are dealing with. We can have as much sex with as many women as we want to. They're not going to look bad. They're not going to be broke down if we don't mind including single mothers in the equation. But what if I don't want that? If you're dealing with black females, you are severely restricting yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
Something else you have to give. Okay, she doesn't have kids, but what? She's a size 16. Oh, hell. You call this an improvement?
I want to ask a question. What do you think is the relationship as far as the women supposedly being lesbian and then turning around and having a kid? Is it just confusion? I don't understand.
No. Sigmund Freud once said that the only unnatural sex is none at all. As I stated before, these women have never had a mother who taught them how to be desirable by men, so they spend their lives being everybody's slut and everybody's whore. And as I stated before, most single mothers have had a sexual experience with another woman. All the guys
so
are
why
done-
do you think that, though? Because it's like...
All the guys are done with them. Once the men get done with you, the men stop wanting to have sex with you. And once all the men stop wanting to have sex with them, what do? That really leaves nothing but females.
And then they get pregnant. Yeah.
So you see, she's not with a female because she wants to be with a female. She's with a female, but she's no longer eligible for a male. But there's always that 20% of black males. There's 20% of black males who will sleep with anything under any circumstances and will not wear a condom. Oh, yeah, 50% of black females have herpes. Yikes.
I was actually reading about that today. I mean, I don't want to sound like stupid or anything, but, I mean, if you had chicken pox with something else, I don't know, I don't know.
You're referring to the herpes simplex strain, and you're correct about that. Just because a person has herpes does not necessarily mean that they got it from sexual contact, and that was the big kerfuffle that people tried to bring up 4 years ago when the CDC released that number. But here's the point. The point is that just because you had chickenpox does not mean you got herpes virus. And let us just be honest about that. Even if we remove herpes from the equation, how many black females out there have an STD or have had an STD? Now, is there anybody
probably
who thinks that number is south of 50%? Anybody? I've never had an STD, but I know that number is not south of 50%. You add in gonorrhea, chlamydia, hepatitis, and herpes, please, please.
I'm sad.
The only thing about herpes is I can bust you because you can't get rid of it. Same thing with hepatitis. That's the only reason that they get busted with that one, because you can't get rid of it.
Well, they have it on documentation for the other ones, right? Like gonorrhea and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't they?
You can go to the CDC site and see that, too.
No, I mean, I'm talking about for, like, the specific part. Like, I think earlier you said, you know, you take her to the thing.
You can go to the CDC website. It's got them broken down by diseases. I'm not guessing my way through this. There's a reason why people hate debating me about this online, because I put up the links. But no, you can go there and go take a look at the specifics yourself. Why am I not pulling the trigger on certain parts of stating that? Because the other argument that people will bring up is that, well, a person can have had more than one sexually transmissible disease. That is true as well. But what are the chances that all these people are this, that we're counting the same people over and over again? Practically none. And what I'm saying is that, what do we find out here? 20% of black males have herpes. What's the percentage of black males that have are single fathers? Hello? Anybody out there? Is this thing on? What's the percentage of black males who don't mind having reckless sex and becoming single fathers? 20%. What percentage of black males have herpes? 20%. Now, if that chicken pox analogy and the herpes simplex thing, and, oh, maybe their moms just kissed them or whatever, got herpes. First of all, what parents are kissing their children on the lips? You shouldn't be doing that. I should bust your ass in the eye. But in any case,
exactly.
How is it that the girls, the females, 50% have herpes, but the males only 20% do? If this is all chicken pox and simplex virus, then why is it that the male ratio is not as high as the female? Why is that? If the numbers are skewed and the CDC was wrong, why is it that the males don't have equal numbers? We're raising the boys in a chicken coop somewhere? We got them locked up in the closet? No.
Well, the woman... Well, the women were just sleeping around. I believe, but so.
And that's what's occurring. So they can argue it, but the numbers bear it out. It's 50%. 50%, very easy, is 50%. But they do not want you to think that way. Nothing is about finding answers. Everything's about guilt-tripping people. So that you stop demanding that they act like adults. And what I'm saying is that as black men, we have to start doing the right thing. So women like you and Stephanie, I think that black men need to do a lot more to make y'all feel a lot more welcome, because your value has gone up tremendously. And I think that what I'm saying is that I think black men need to make more of an effort to create forums and enclaves that specifically welcome females like you. Note, you've never been pregnant before. That means your morals and your physical practices are in line. And it's a seller's market where you all are concerned, if you don't mind the analogy, but it's a seller's market where females like you are concerned. Why should we not do everything we can to make sure that we make the environment as welcoming for you as possible? Why would we not do that? How about we auction them off?
The lottery amount to auction.
What? Okay. Look, my gears turn on money. Okay, here's what I'm referring to here, okay? Because I'm just throwing ideas out there. Look, I mean, I'm not saying
that. Yeah, I can
that.
Tell.
Just throwing ideas out there, Stephanie. Don't get shanked.
I can tell you're throwing out ideas.
Stephanie's video is shanking as soon as I get off tonight.
Let's go. No.
All right.
All right,
go ask,
I'm quiet.
There go ask the fraud.
I'm not ready to.
I got Negroes buying the first thing, tickets on the first thing with wings out of town when I get done. Let me get out of here. So, all right. But I don't know. Like, I think that maybe it'd be a situation where we give guys the opportunity to put their bids in or whatever. I don't know. But I do know that I want it. I do know that black men need to do more to make it a welcoming environment for the women. I do know that. Maybe I don't have it all figured out. Okay, maybe we'll hold off on the lottery thing. I don't know. But what I am saying is we need to do something. Maybe I don't have all the answers, but I do know that we need to do something. We cannot keep having women like Stephanie and Jasmine have to fight and shout over the Bushikas and the Shaniquas who have totally screwed up their lives. The ones who have screwed themselves up need to be allowed to keep going and get with guys like the Fraud and all those kind of fellas. That's what they deserve. Females like you should not have to shout and scream to be heard or even be noticed over them. You all shouldn't have to sit up here and set yourselves on fire to be noticed. We ought to be able to have a place where we can just assume that the women are virtuous and are not tacky and sleazy. Why is it that that can't be the assumption? Ooh, the ladies got silent. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, crickets. That's what I was thinking.
They're trying to figure out what are my benefits. I don't know. Maybe we'll let the guy in for a bid. Like, we'll just say, okay, it's $500 to talk to Stephanie. For 30 minutes.
Okay.
Wow, Stephanie.
Okay.
She'll be sitting there speed dialing through people. Next.
Yep, exactly.
She's just sitting there chewing her bubble gum and watching Scandal. Yeah. Oh,
no,
that's
I don't
nice.
Do Scandal.
That's wonderful. Okay, Jim. My name's Terry. Terry. She'll just be sitting there going through phone calls. I made $8,000 tonight.
I would donate it. I mean, I would contribute to the 7 a.m. documentary.
Now you're really going to make me go set it up now. Hell, I got to get you and Jasmine. Jasmine?
That's a good idea.
You don't have to like
Jasmine.
Him. You don't have to like him. You just got to talk to him.
We can do it to raise $3,000. Exactly.
Right.
So we can go see TVA together.
$1,000 now. But like I say, all kidding aside, though, I do want a serious mechanism that allows us to be able to not have to looking for females like you all who most black females today have totally busted themselves, tainted themselves, and screwed themselves for life. And finding females like you two, even though it's not so hard for guys like me, because I've got a forum that allows and attracts people to come speak. The problem is for the average black man, if he doesn't have his own broadcast or something, it's too hard to get females like you to find you. It's like searching for a needle in a stack of needles. It's not like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's like looking for a needle in a stack of needles. Starting to get it now?
Definitely.
Every female comes up to you claiming to be the same way, and then you have to sift through them to find out they're not. And then you got the ones who are outright lying. So what I'm saying is that we need to make this process easier. Not sure exactly how you do that, but I do know we make this process easier. What are your suggestions?
Me?
Yeah, we can start there.
Oh, I like what you said. I mean, I don't know about, the actual, $500 an hour thing, but, set up, a, like even Facebook, make a group or whatever, I mean, that's a start. Making groups on Facebook is free, I think, right? So, I mean, that's a start.
I mean, we can make groups, but to be totally honest with you, I want to filter out the dusty Negroes and the immature Negroes and the young fellas who ain't about nothing.
Well, exactly.
I don't want y'all wasting your time either. I don't want to sit up here and get the best and brightest women just so we can bring them over and waste their damn time. Because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to gather together all these females just so, okay, let's waste their time. So I'm not doing that, man.
But with the Facebook group, that's like an anybody thing, is it not?
Yeah.
It's like people can kind of join.
I mean, for groups, you can pick and choose who joins. I mean, you can select that.
But then somebody would have to go through and, well, I guess somebody would do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you would, but what I'm saying is that we scrutinize. So we would be able to determine who's serious about this stuff and who's not. But, I mean, I want to scrutinize that kind of thing. But at the same time, what I'm saying is that, you know, just even if I don't have all the answers, I want us to just start a base filtering. Maybe it'll be a group. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk it over with Johnny. I don't know. Johnny's got his own group on Facebook. Maybe we'll start there. I don't know. But I do know that as black men, I do want us to make it clear that there are rewards for fooling with us if you are a woman who satisfies certain criteria. And when they see the rest of y'all being rewarded for doing that, that starts a trend where they say, wow, you know what? What I got really is valuable. Maybe I shouldn't just be giving this away to every goon and every clown who comes falling off the damn freeway.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll value it more. So that's what I'm saying. I want to filter out the guys who aren't serious. I want to filter out the females who are not eligible and the guys who aren't serious. That's what I want to do.
Well, as far as that, that's already been done, have it not? Basically with your broadcast and everything, or no?
Well, no, my broadcast is not it, you know. My broadcast is a open to all. This, I want something that is not open to all. It would not be this mass media thing, okay? I want something that is not open to all. And see, like James says on the first broadcast, you know, maybe we need to look into something that has tiers to it. Where it's like, okay, there's one level if you just don't have any kids. There's another level if you don't have any kids and shape.
Mm-hmm.
That's a second club right there. We charge more for this one. We charge more, but you're getting more. Something to think about, you know.
Yeah, how much do you think it would cost to set up a site like that?
Setting up a site is not hard. Finding the females for it would be the hard part. If we solve that particular riddle, it would be okay. But just take a look at the posting that I did in Relationship Talk today and see how hard that is. Yeah, that was a disaster. And by the way, half the females who said they didn't have kids were non-black. By the way, I just wanted to throw that in there for everybody. Of the 12 women who said they didn't have kids, 6 of them were non-black. Of the black women who said they didn't have kids, 3 of them were fat.
So God.
Yeah. We can drill down on this if you want to. It ain't going to get no prettier. But you have to start somewhere. If you ladies have any suggestions, though, you know, you can just inbox it to me. Let me know. I'll run it by Johnny or somebody. I've got a team of guys I talk to. And like I say, it'll be something for us to think about. But as black men, even if TBA doesn't have the answer on this, even if you don't like anything I've said, the bottom line is, brothers, we have to do something. We are not making our presence felt. We're not making our presence known. And the results are catastrophic.
Is there a certain age range you want the women to be in, or?
No, well, you want them to be adult.
You know.
I mean, actually, we can start them at 21.
So what age?
But what I'm saying, you have to understand, as a male, I don't know how long I want to let them lay out there, because they're most getting run through between the ages of 18 and 23. So do we really want to leave them alone from 18 to 30? I mean, from 18 to 21, that three-year period is enough time to get in a lot of trouble.
See,
a female, you don't consider it that way. But as a male, I think about that.
I think it's depending on the female, you know.
But I don't even know that long, because by the time we get to them, it may be too late. That three-year period is long enough for her to get knocked up twice. Because by the time they get in their late 20s, man, it's over. It's over. They are just so through today. By the time they get in their late 20s, it ain't even funny. So, like I say, I mean, it's a situation where, as scrutiny-wise for the women, the things we want to scrutinize them over, do they have any kids? Or do they have any kids? Now, while we can verify if they currently have kids, we would not be able to independently verify if they ever had kids. That would be the man's job to do that. I expect men to act like adults. What we've done is we've helped whittle it down. You're the one who has to verify now.
So is the tattoo thing still on the table or not?
Wow. There you go, making trouble.
What? You didn't mention that in the whole broadcast.
I guess we'll put that on a different tier.
So baby, which tier does that go under?
Baby free, fat free, tattoo free.
Oh, yeah, tattoos. I forgot about that.
Why yeah, you want your females like your water, fat-free. I am not going to approve of females who have tattoos. I will leave it up to the guys whether or not they want to do such an obvious danger sign. If it were me, I would leave it up to the guys. She's obviously giving you a clear warning sign that she's trouble. You sure you want to see? But isn't it amazing? Look how badly black women have screwed themselves up today, that if we remove babies, abortions, fat, and tattoos, we got like, what, five of y'all?
Oh, my goodness. I just thought I'm like the only one out of my, you know, coworkers, black coworkers, that doesn't have a tattoo. I just thought of that. Wow. I mean.
Okay, and how many of them got...
One,
and by the way, how many of them got men trying to run up on them either? They never make the connection.
Well, shockingly a lot. I mean, you know the phrase.
No, they don't. No, they don't, Jasmine. No, they don't. They've got men who want to have sex with them. They don't have anybody who's trying to keep them.
Touché.
When a man sees you got tattoos, that tells me you do not care about your body. And that's exactly what a man wants if he wants easy sex. Tattoos are a mark that says, my body is not sacred. If your body is not sacred for a tattoo artist, it sure ain't going to be sacred for some of these things I want to do with it. And isn't it not surprising that the females who have the tackiest sexual history are the females who have tackiest skin coverings? It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence at all. Me, myself, I'd want to steer clear. That's a clear warning sign. And as for piercings, forget about it. I've been doing this now for over 8 hours. By the way, the Black Channel does not charge people. You see, on my website, I put up great content and I don't charge people when they come to my website. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Do you have to pay by like the hour, or is it like...
Well, I mean, I have to pay by the month for Blog Talk and I have to pay the other things. But what I'm saying is that my website does not charge subscriptions. I just wanted to include that for everybody. You see, when you're legit and you're not a fraud, you don't have to sit up and keep, you don't have to sit up here and keep coming up with new schemes all the time. So my website does not attempt to charge people. Because you see, when you have truly great content, you can get people to come back and you don't have to do that. See, when you generate your own income, you don't have to sit up here and come up with new schemes on people. Of course, I guess if your YouTube views have dropped off and you're not making any more money on YouTube, I guess you have to come up with something new. After all, when TBA shanks you, it can upend the apple cart in all kinds of ways. But I just wanted to throw that out there, that the Black Channel is free thought and free of fees. I'll let you ladies have the last word.
I'll let you know. Go ahead.
You can go ahead, Sarah.
I'll let you know if I come up with any more ideas, but I'll be brainstorming. And Black first.
Thank you very much, Sir Stephanie.
What first?
Just for the record, everybody, Jasmine is a dark-skinned Black female. She has glasses. She has a discernible waist. That's always helpful. Same thing with Stephanie, actually. Well, she's not dark-skinned. She's kind of bright-skinned, but she passes the paper bag test, but still. She's got glasses, too, and a discernible waist. Let the bidding start at... Well, never mind. Never mind. In any case, thank you very much for joining me tonight, ladies. Fellows, we got our work cut out for us. We are going to have to start doing what's necessary to help females like this stand out and to show them that they are valued. Let's stop tolerating the soup cans. Tell me how much you got out of that pair of Jordans you paid for. Isn't it time to start putting our money to work for us in a more productive way so we can actually overcome these problems instead of endlessly fighting with them? And this concludes tonight's broadcast of TBA After Hours. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. Join me later today at 7 p.m. Central for another broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, Black is the future. And the future is uncompromising.